The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and the scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." And so to them he addressed this parable. What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy, and upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost." In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then he said, "A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' And so the father divided the property between them. And after a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. And when he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. And so he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat the fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' And so he got up and went back to his father. And while still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was moved with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him, and said, and his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Let us then celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. And the servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' And he became angry. And when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. And he said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him, you slaughter the fatted calf?' And he said to him, 'My son, you are here with me always, Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospel, quite long, has three parables describing for us who God is. As beautiful it is, though, I want to go to that first reading. Because if you're anything like me, I think many of us modern people have such a hard time with what we say is the God of the Old Testament. And such old writings, how could they possibly relate to us today? For example, are you serious? Could people really build a golden calf and worship it as God and sacrifice to it? It seems silly, doesn't it? But in my life, on deeper reflection, we build many things with our hands apart from God and sacrifice our whole lives worshiping it. Take the stock market, the economy, how we sacrifice so much. And after the stock market crashes, we find things like increased suicide, people who do reach despair when they reach financial ruin. Difficult, I know, but that shows that we have made money our God. Or other things like the revelry and the dancing, right? How often do we dance around sports figures or movie stars, or musicians, go to clubs and have that dancing? On and on. There are many things in our lives we worship and sacrifice to that are not the work of God. And so, on deeper reflection, it becomes profound how a 2,000-year-old writing can have such great meaning still today. And then if you go further, how about that dialogue between God and Moses? God's wrath burns up and he wants to destroy his people. That's what we say is the God of the Old Testament, right? Not the God of love. How can you believe in a God like that? And then we see a dialogue between Moses and God where Moses actually seems more mature than God. But we Christians, especially Catholic Christians, read the Old Testament in light of the gospel, because the gospel is the fullest of God's revelation. Jesus Christ is the fullest of God's revelation. And everything that happened before then leads up and prefigures and prepares us for what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And so the dialogue you see between God and Moses is really a type, someone who is showing us what Christ is going to do. And the dialogue is not God changing God's mind, but it's mind of God being revealed to us, that although we humans, created in God's love, in paradise, rebelled against God, sinned, deserve the punishment of our sin, which is death. Yet, God wants to save us. And so the Son dialogues with the Father, and in Christ Jesus, we're going to see the Son come and give his life to intercede for us, for our salvation. You know, we modern people, again, have such a hard time with the idea that God would want to kill his people. The flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, or even how the chosen people could go into the promised land with violence and kill others. I'm not condoning that. But what we fail to understand is the immensity of the sin, the ingratitude, the consequences of our rebellion against God. God created paradise for us and meant for us to live in love and harmony, with access and in total harmony with all creation. The beauty of the mountains, the cleanness of the water, the green fields, the stars, the planets, all the creatures he created. But what does humankind do? We kill one another. We exploit the planet. We pollute. We mine it for our minerals to make the economy and money to have power over people. We kill for that things that we make. And we forget that God created and gave it to us as a gift. And so God, perhaps like a surgeon working on a patient who has cancer with some rebellious cells to cut them out so that the whole may live, God justifiably wants to destroy those sinners so they stop and so that the whole is saved, the planet and all creation and all those who wish to follow God. And so we modern people think that God doesn't have a right to do this, or a loving God wouldn't even do that. Yet that's what we do to save people, to cut out the cells that are harmful. And so, rather, I suggest what's surprising about the God of the Old Testament is not that he kills or threatens to kill, but that he saves and reaches out. And in the New Testament, in Jesus Christ, we see the fullness of that God in the Gospels today, the three beautiful parables, that even though we were still sinners, while we rebelled, God reached out in Christ Jesus, didn't stay in heaven. He comes down, becomes human, enters into our sinfulness and our suffering caused by sin, shows us the extent of his love as he gives himself to the very end, calling us back to the Father through his death and resurrection, shares with us the Holy Spirit, which reconciles us to God and invites us, just like that prodigal son, just to come to our senses. Say, you know what? I've rebelled. God has so much more prepared for me. If I just go back, and if we just take one step, God sees us. And even though our contrition may be imperfect, he embraces us with his love, puts the coat of many colors on us or embraces us, kills the fatted calf, and rejoices over our returning and forgets our sinfulness and our rebellion. That's the incredible thing. And that's what God is showing us through both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so let us recognize what God has done for us. Let's accept that mercy and that grace and acknowledge our membership in the human race and its sinfulness. And to say, Lord, I no longer worship the work of our hands, but I worship you. And thank you for all you've done. May I again be worthy to be your daughter and your son. And Christ has made us worthy, for he shared with us the riches of heaven. And then finally, that older son tells us a lot too. How many of us say, you know, I'm a good person, I've worked hard, I deserve everything I get. Everything we have is a gift from God. And until we recognize that and come back to our God and receive that loving embrace, and start to enjoy the feast ourselves, the beginning here, continuing in heaven, the joy of God's love, that is supposed to fill us to not be like the older son, to refuse God who even comes to us, right? The Father came out. But rather, that older son could have said, my brother's lost, long before that, and gone out and said, come back to God. The God who embraces us. Come back to Jesus, the one who searches us out, wants to put you on his shoulders and carry you back. If we truly have been saved, redeemed, and experienced God's love, which I hope we have, but if we haven't, recognize God wants that. But then once we have that, let us spend the rest of our lives in that joy and love, reaching out for others who are astray, and bring them back to God.